I can remember a sermon that my good friend Tim Chickering preached when I was a high school student. And he's not remembering it because he probably doesn't have a clue what I'm even talking about. But it started with an illustration about Trent Dilfer. Is that ringing any bells? It was Super Bowl Sunday, and Tim, he was slated to preach, and so he talked about football as any good preacher would do on Super Bowl Sunday. And his illustration was that God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. And this message this morning is a good fit for that illustration of Trent Dilfer, who was the quarterback for the Ravens in the year 2000 that they won the Super Bowl. And Trent Dilfer is not the quarterback that you would say, yeah, let's start our team with that. He was no Peyton Manning. He was no Tom Brady. He was just Trent Dilfer, as you might imagine. He wasn't that great, but his defense was incredible. And they won the Super Bowl, and then the team got rid of him the next year. Trent Dilfer was ordinary, not extraordinary, but he did a great thing. This morning, our message is about God doing something extraordinary through ordinary people. It's found in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read all of the chapter because it's God's sort of mission prep for his disciples. If you think about the sort of mission briefing before you go, husbands, when your wives send you with a grocery list and you get the mission briefing, where to go, what to get, how to do it, what not to get, what to look out for, this is a sort of mission briefing for the disciples, all right? You guys are tracking with me. What husbands do miraculously well at getting deals, right? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, our wives are shaking their heads no, but we're confident that we've done the right thing. Well, God, he's sending out his disciples. Jesus has spent time with his guys, and he is laying it out there. He's saying where to go, and he's saying what to do and how to do it and whom to go to. And he's also talking about how to handle rejection. It'd almost be like a son or a father teaching his son how to go about picking up a girl. Maybe apparently Kevin can help us in that. I wasn't aware, but so this is Jesus's mission briefing for us. If we remember, at the very end of chapter 9, Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he says a prayer, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. At the end of 9, there's a prayer, send out the workers, pray for these workers. And the very next verse, the very next chapter, is the sort of response to that prayer. And so let's go ahead and pick up in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for workers are worth their keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at that person's house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet, and when you leave the home or town, truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. on my account. You will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. And that at that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and as a father his child, children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but those who stand firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Students are not above their teacher, nor servants above their master. It is enough for students to be like their teacher and servants like their master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever publicly acknowledges me on Facebook, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever publicly disowns me in emails, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be the members of your own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes someone known to be a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes someone known to be righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is known to be my disciple, truly, I tell you, that person will certainly be rewarded. Well, there it is. There's the mission briefing. We're all ready to go, right? Woohoo! Jesus, he probably needs a little understanding of how to give a pep talk. This is not necessarily one of those pep talks as much as a preparation for understanding the sort of consequences that are going to be theirs in following Christ. This journey for them is not going to be easy. If we look at just the beginning of it, where is it that they are to go? There is an interesting thing here. Jesus says, go to Israel. He says, you're not going to the Gentiles yet. We hear that with the sort of Gentile ears that we have. I'm pretty sure we're all Gentiles here. But we read that and we think, well, why is the mission not yet going to the Gentiles? And Jesus, this is the progression of the story. Go to Israel first. Don't go to the Gentiles. Go to those who need to hear it first, and that's Israel. And so Jesus, he equips them, and he sends them. And that this juncture in the story of salvation, Jesus is sending his mission strictly to those who belong to Israel. And there is an urgent message. And the urgency of this message is kind of built up in what we read last week in Matthew 8 and 9. Everything that Jesus was doing in 8 and 9 of Matthew is the sort of authority and power that Christ has. And last week we just spent time really focusing in on God's power and God's authority to go to work. And then in chapter 10 then, when Jesus gives his instructions, he says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And so their mission is to go to Israel, not to the Gentiles. And what they are going to do is twofold. They are going to herald, announce, and they are going to heal. It says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I have a quick question, and it's more just rhetorical, something to think about. But if you could fix one thing about our world, what would you fix? Maybe some of you would fix who our president is. Maybe others, you wanted me to just stop talking about it. But what would you fix? If there's something that you could fix that's broken, if you could fix poverty, if you could fix the sort of brokenness that's systematic and we start something and because of sin it falls apart, the law of attrition, if we could just fix that, that would kind of be nice. If we could just make something and it would never break. If we look at our lives and we see sickness and we see death and we see suffering and we see all of these things, what would you fix? The sort of systematic problems that are around our world. And I want to just take a moment to talk about this sort of thing of what we would fix and why would we try and fix it. Because we understand the sort of hurt and the things happening in our lives and things happening in our world. And it can get kind of overwhelming. It can even get a little depressing. The guys sent out on this mission, these disciples who learn from Jesus, they become apostles. And apostles and disciples are different. Disciples are students. Apostles are people who have a message to go and share. And what's the content of their message? Repent and believe. It says, the kingdom of God is at hand. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is a place where brokenness is no longer exists. It's where the systematic problems that we see in our world are done away with because we have the true leader who is our king, and it's King Jesus. We have healing, we have help, we have strength, we have no more death, we have no more suffering. This is all that's sort of caught up in the message that they're proclaiming. And if that doesn't start stirring a little bit of excitement in you, I don't really know how to generate it. Because it's not something to be generated by my words, but by the Spirit of God working in you to realize that you are part of something special. There is an urgency to this message, and there is a sense of awe and wonder in the disciples that they get to now go and start proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. That all that people were hoping for has been brought nearer to Jesus. Now the flip side of it is that we're 2,000 years after these words and we look around and we still see brokenness and we still see hurt. And so then it kind of comes back to the preacher and say, well, you're kind of full of baloney, aren't you? Right? Isn't that the genuine tension? We still see the things going wrong in our world, yet Jesus has this urgent message to go out to Israel, and we know we take the same message and we go out into all of the world and announce that Jesus Christ is King and that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But we have this tension, right? We have hurt, we have sin, we have death, we have brokenness, we have suffering, we have these things that we get really uneasy about. And we just watch the news and we wonder what's next. We wonder when we open up the obituaries and we see friends and we see people that we care about. We have friends who have been sick and in the hospital and trying to get out of the hospital and all kinds of problems. This is life. Yet Jordan has the audacity to say, along with the disciples, a message. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that gets to the sort of tension of who we are as a people. We are a collective group of people who affirm and believe and live like Jesus Christ is King today. And we can go about in the world and we can just sort of have this sort of tension going on and we can think all hope is lost. Or there can be something very distinctly different about how we live our lives and how we live our life together. You see, these words were put into the scriptures so that we might form a certain type of community. They weren't just put here so that we might feel good about ourselves and try and explain away the world. It was meant to form us as a people together. Form us around this common unity that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And we believe and we live in this new idea that Jesus is making all things new. And so I would just ask for you to reflect on your own life. Has Jesus done something in your own life to show you that he's making all things new? Has he healed you? Has he helped you? Has he encouraged you? Have you been loved by church people in such a way that you know that Jesus Christ is real and alive today? Have you been loved by people of God to know that Christ is alive in them and that Christ is alive in you? Friends, we get the truth beaten out of us because the cold reality of the world in which we live in just loves to make us suffer and remind us that we're in a hard spot. But the reality is that this room is so filled with stories of God's merciful grace and loving kindness in our lives that for us to tell all of the stories and ways in which God has loved us and cared for us, we wouldn't have enough time in this week to share the ways in which God has been kind to each and every one of us. And so when I read a text like this and I wonder, okay, ho-hum, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we just sort of gloss through it, or we might just think, man, I don't know if that's true or not. I think that we've watched too much news and we've forgotten the good news. The good news that Jesus sends out his disciples with a message to become heralds of the good news that is for all people. And God does this through ordinary Trent Dilfers of the world. He doesn't do it through the extraordinary. He does it through the ordinary. These common, everyday guys who are fishermen and tax collectors and just regular guys like you and me and regular gals like like you and Wendy. There we go. I didn't want to say I was a gal too. But God would do this miraculous work through ordinary people, that he would send them out with this profound, wonderful truth, and he would give them the authority and strength and power to go out and show. And so what they do, what they have to say, and where they go is all about going to God's people and announcing to them that the kingdom of God is here, it is present, and it is theirs to be had. And it is my job today to announce the very same message, to say that no matter who you are and no matter where you come from and no matter what background you have and no matter what sin is in your life, that Christ is here for you and his kingdom is open to you and you can have life in him and you can live your life in this reality that Jesus is Lord and King. And it's not ignoring the tensions and the problems of this world, but it's realizing that there's something quite a bit sweeter and wonderful, more wonderful about life together as a church body who seeks first Christ in his kingdom. Of all the things I've said, I hope that that might be an amen for you. That community of Christians gathered together, loving one another, is a way in which we can show the world that they can have a world of suffering and pain and hurt, and we have an answer. We believe in one who is making all things new. That in Christ Jesus, those who believe, there is a new heaven and a new earth coming for us. A world in which there is no longer sin and death and brokenness and hurt and suffering and all of these things that get so overwhelming. My younger brother, as you've met and you heard all about what he's doing, he is with Global City Mission Initiative. And that job that he has is to witness to people living in New York who are, and their main people they are trying to witness to are immigrants. And so when the executive order came through and Joel started getting all stirred up about the world, I reminded him of this. I said, you have a lot of options that you can do living in New York. And you can go and you can join the protesters. And you can go and you can join alongside the people that you're trying to minister to, and that might be a good thing to show your support and love for them. But what this executive order for you should be is not a thing to get all upset about this brokenness and the systematic problems in our world today. This should act as a catalyst, an accelerant in your ministry. This should cause for you to wake up in the morning and not waste a single moment that you have with your Dominican friends who might be deported. But to not just talk about what the weather was the night before or the day before or what the weather might be the next week, but talk to them about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and King. The immigration orders against them, if they get deported, let them not be deported without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news of a Savior. My brother lives under the threat that the people he's ministering to might be gone the next day. And I thought, man, if I'm going to give that pep talk to my brother, I might need to give a pep talk to me and my congregation to say that there might be people who are no longer with us tomorrow that need the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And we don't know what reasons might take them from our neck of the woods. It might be death. It might be just a new job. It might just be something else. But we have an executive order from on high to go and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And so my challenge for us today is simply to look at this and say, will we be the people of God that God's calling us to be? To live out the reality that the kingdom is here, that there's an executive order for us today to share with our neighbors that Jesus is Lord and King. I have a bunch of other points that I wanted to make, but they are very simple. When he sends the disciples, he sends them out in a very simple way. He says, don't take anything extra. It's like, why not take anything extra? If I get going down the road and I don't have my cell phone with me, I start worrying like something might dreadfully happen if I don't have my cell phone and I can't call home. Am I the only millennial that feels that way? All right. Gotta have your cell phone, right? Jesus sends these guys out in the hostile territory and they don't have anything extra but the clothes on their back and a message in their heart. And the point was to show that they trusted completely in Jesus Christ. As we go, we need to trust in Christ. And if we feel like we don't have the words to say, it says right there in the scriptures that we have the Spirit of God in us and it'll help us to have the words to say. And you might feel like you're in a situation where you don't have a clue and all you have to say is, you know, just let's figure it out together and open God's word. You can do this and you can share the good news of Christ with others. This passage is also about loyalty. It's about a deep devotion and commitment to Jesus Christ. It's about trusting in God. And it's about knowing that there's going to be resistance by the world from what we have to say. One of the things about this text that is always bothersome to me is the message goes to the Israelites. And it's the Israelites who've had God's word, who've been waiting for a Messiah, who've been waiting for the kingdom of God to be brought near. And here they receive it, and they don't receive it well. In fact, there's a lot of hostility and problems. And so there will be a lot of discouragement as we go and share, as there is a lot of discouragement for the Israel or for the disciples going to the Israelites. We're going to folks who have no belief in Jesus, no understanding of the scriptures, but we can go knowing that we are heralds of the truth and of something better. And so friends, this morning, if you're hurting, I would hope that, and something I've said today would remind you of the glory of heaven and the peace and strength and love that we'll have there. If you're looking for the next step in your faith, I would just wonder if maybe it's telling someone about Jesus and learning to grow and share in that. And for all of us who are hungry for a little bit more, maybe this word this morning will send us back into the scriptures to read and study and grow in our faith and be reminded of the wonderful truths of God's word. So this morning, as we would go, I'd ask that you guys listen to our executive order to go into all of the world and make disciples, baptizing each and every one of them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Jesus Christ says these words, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he says, you're not going at it alone. He says, I'm with you to the very end of the age. So friends, as God might decide to do an extraordinary thing through ordinary people like you and me, let's go and share the hope of heaven with people in our lives. Will you join with me in that challenge? The hope of heaven is for our neighbors. It's for you and me. Let's share the hope of Christ with all we can this week. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, and I thank you for your executive order to get out in the world and proclaim King Jesus as Lord and Savior. May we not lose sight of the kingdom of God as we look around us and we see all kinds of trouble and worrisome things. Lord, we belong to a kingdom that the Hebrew preacher said is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Lord, sometimes our hearts are shaken. Sometimes it's all too overwhelming for us. And so, Lord, help us to find our firm footing on your Son, our cornerstone, the one who builds us all together into a church. God, we are a body together. And as part of our family suffers, help us to mourn and suffer together. And as we have joy, help us to have joy and celebration together. That in all things, Lord, you would build together your church to be a living testimony of your goodness, of your mercy, and your love. Lord, this week, just put on our hearts and our minds a simple story of your love that we could share with someone else. Lord, we pray for any opportunity that our conversations would be seasoned with salt and grace. We pray for open doors of opportunities to share with loved ones. God, evangelism can be very difficult. Sharing good news about your Son in what might be a hostile world. But Lord, these are the cross that we decided to carry. Lord, that what we might say might separate us from family. What we have to say might be hurtful in the ears of some who are not prepared to hear the truth. And so, Lord, we need a season of grace and mercy and love on our speech. Thoughtfulness and kindness. We need your word on our hearts and your Spirit at work in us. We pray for this week, Lord, for opportunities to share your love. Guide us and lead us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?